makeover three, and I'm going to call it today having a restart, a renewal, if you will. And I want to say this at this front, and I'll come back to this, that whatever may be broken today in your life, and I think Sheldon prayed over some of those things, but whatever may be broken, I jotted this down. Broken is fixable. When realized. Brokenness is fixable, not by self-help methods, but by the power and strength of Almighty God. Do we have any testimonies out there? Wow. So I would begin with this question, and I just ask that you roll it around your heart and mind. I'm talking to this room full, people online galore today, wherever you may be, later in the week. What might be? What does God need to renew or restart in you? Is the fire for Jesus white hot? What's happened to it from when it was first ignited? With the pace of life that we often set, we often drive our spiritual life into the ground. Unintentionally, I would say. We lack, many times, spiritual consistency and strength, and we want to talk about that today. Please hear me. It's easy to live on the roller coaster of the extremes, hot and cold. True? I think the Bible talks about that, doesn't it? But here's the problem. When we live to the extremes, lean to the extremes of hot and cold, we end up averaging lukewarm. How many of you know lukewarm about anything isn't good? I think Revelation speaks to that, does it not? Averaging lukewarm. I don't want to average lukewarm, do you? I don't want my spiritual temperature to be lukewarm. It's not good for our spiritual health and vitality. It's not good for others. And in so doing, we just get wrung out, run down, worn out. What does God want to do in your heart? For years now, and we'll do it again, Lord willing, in January 2025, but we'll come to three consecutive weeks that we're going to call Jumpstart 21, and it's placed in January at the very beginning, and the purpose of that is to fuel or to refuel a personal spiritual restart at the beginning of each year, because we need those times of renewal, don't we? And it's so good to do it together. The Word of God in 2 Corinthians 4 reads this way. I'll read a couple of verses here with comments. I was reading the earlier text this morning again, and this text, if you start at the beginning of the chapter, it speaks, not in name specifically, but what I'll call, it speaks against circumstantialism. In other words, letting our circumstances control our perspective about God or anything else. We don't believe in circumstantialism. We don't live by the seat of our circumstances. We live on the certainty of who God is, the God who can fix anything and everything and everyone who's broken today. We believe it fervently. So take some time and read about being hard-pressed on every side. All in the middle of that, these words come that they had the privilege of proclaiming without shyness, with great boldness, the reality of a resurrected Christ. Verse 16. That is why the above verses, we never give up. I could stop right there. That'll preach today, because some of you are on the verge of it, and the Word says that is why we never give up, not because of our circumstance, because of who Jesus is in the middle of our circumstances. And we are hidden in Christ in relationship with Him. Admittedly, it says, though our bodies are dying, here it is, our spirits are being renewed every day. Don't you like that tense? It's not like they were once upon a time. Oh, yeah, I got renewed back there in 1948 or whatever the case may be. That may be true, but is it still relevant now? Are you being renewed? Be being renewed every day by the power of God's Spirit within you, being hidden in Christ. Being renewed every day. That's why we get so frenzied and out of touch and lose our way and end up in the deep weeds, because we overlook the everyday part. Oh, Pastor, that's legalism. No, that's a lifeline. That's our lifeline. 17. For our present troubles, okay, that would be circumstances. They're real, but the Bible said they're small and won't last very long. How many of the things that trouble us today will really matter a week, a month, a year from now? Most times, it won't be the case. Yet, these difficulties, this brokenness now, they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Has anybody experienced spiritual growth in the middle of brokenness besides me? Has anybody been so self-contained that you thought you could do it and overcome, but when you get in that circumstance, you have no place to look but up, and you realize that God is your source? And that little by little you've made choices and you've disconnected from Him. He's loving you. He's pursuing you. But you've chosen to back out because you've been so busy, so hurried, so filled up with everything else but that. We can't do it without being renewed daily spiritually. That needs to be on our agenda. That's a part of our life. That's the below the freeze line that won't be changed by the ever-shifting shadows of this world and circumstances. It lasts. It's a foundation that endures. Yes, this is something. An author used to say, I heard him say something like this. He said, it's not that this is nothing, but it's not everything. Right. We're not minimizing the pain and the brokenness, but it's not everything. It's not the end. There's more, because there's more of God. He fills up broken spaces and places. Next verse. So, once again, in light of those things, we don't look at the troubles we can see now, the circumstances we can see now, the thing that seems hopeless right now. We don't look at that. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. And how many of you know that that points to all things spiritual? Some of you get a text from week to week from my friend Dave, and he texts something like this: prayer does more than you think because God is doing more than you can see. Any testimonies? How do you know God works in the invisible so many times? We'd like to see it all physically, but I thought that was so powerful. Prayer, he writes, is a conversation you have with God about things He can change. Worry is a conversation with yourself about things that you can't change. So give it up. Don't fix your gaze on the circumstances, the troubles that cannot be seen. For the things we see now, the tangible, will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. We better be about the Father's business, living for things that are going to live forever, last forever. Agreement there? In this world. What a delicate balance. That's why we need to press in. That's why we need to be spiritually renewed. That's why we need each other. That's why we need this fellowship of worship and prayer. Whatever we do when we gather, it's so imperative. Let's not drive our spiritual life in the ground. Let's make it a priority. Let's make it a foundation. Let's give it the importance that it deserves. Hebrews 3:10 instructs us to put on your new nature. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Look in my bag there and see if my Bible's in there, my New Living Version. It's in one of those big flaps, if you can bring it up. In my devotions this week, and some of you do a one-year Bible, is that in there? It's a big, heavy Bible. Do you see it? One of those flaps. But he was suggesting my bag has too many compartments in it. If it's not here, it's not here. Yep, there it is. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Joel. But Nikki was suggesting this morning, Nikki Gumbel, he said, and I should have had it, but he said, take a slip of paper or else a picture of you and stick it in your Bible, and that's what it means to be in Christ. He said, basically, know this, that wherever, if this represents your life in Christ, Jesus, wherever He goes, you're with Him. Wherever you are, He's with you. I love that, because being in Christ changes our whole identity, our whole perspective about circumstances. But it's being hidden in Christ. That was a visual that helped me. Put on your new nature and become renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. If you say something is becoming to somebody, what are you basically saying? That looks really good on you. I want to tell you, Jesus looks really good on us and in us. And a watching world is waiting to see the reality of Jesus on us. In other words, it's attractional. Jesus in us, being hidden in Christ, it's attractional. I mean, people are attracted to that, whether they know it or not. It could be your facial expression. It could be your acts of kindness, whatever. It's so appealing in this world that is so broken. Put on a new nature. As I read these verses, it sounds to me like our Worcester NAS vision frame, which means living transformed. As we love God with everything and people with everything, we're living in that transformed zone, living transformed, and that's key to spiritual consistency and strength that we all need to draw from. It's what we need. It's what we want. Our goal in this journey from here to heaven is daily to just become more and more like Him, one step, one small thing at a time. Put on a new nature. So renew, I don't know what that word means to you, but I mean, you could Google it in a hurry. But to make like new, to make over again, to give new strength, to refresh, renovate, to rejuvenate, to start over again, it's like a restart. God can press that restart button no matter where we are today. Have you thought lately about the reality of renewal in our world? Renewal, I would suggest, is a part of life all around us. Have you ever gone to bed at night and you thought, maybe last night, I thought, I've never been this tired. And when you have a good night's rest, you wake up, do you feel refreshed and renewed and ready for another day? You can never imagine, but some of us, you're ready to hop out of bed and charge hell with a water pistol, as they say. Have you ever thought about the transition of day turning to night and night turning to day, about the gorgeous seasons we have in Ohio where there's no better weather than the last weeks we had anywhere you could go? I mean, it's the seasons, they come and go. Jesus often withdrew as our great example alone for times of renewal and rest and to set a pace of life when He was on earth. And the Bible says that Almighty God rested on day number what? 7 from His work of creation. Renewal is all around us, but listen, what I'm afraid is, though renewal is all around us, many times renewal is not within us. We have so much going on that we've all but lost the practice of renewal. So the Bible says for that, we put on this new nature. I mean, dive into it. I mean, totally saturate it, sink into it. Clothe yourself with the presence of Almighty God. So often it seems like we're running around chasing our tails in a cul-de-sac. That's kind of pointless and hopeless, isn't it? Not only are you going round and round in a cul-de-sac, but you're chasing your tail while you're doing it. It looks silly when dogs do it. It looks even worse when we do it. But that's our pace. We expend a great deal of energy, but we don't seem to be going in the direction we want to go or going anywhere positive. We barely have one nostril above the waterline surviving instead of thriving with that spirit-filled and activated life. So we put on that new nature because our identity is now we are in Christ. We are in Christ, and maybe we could pray a prayer like this. Oh God, because You saw me in my brokenness and rescued me, I am now a new creation. I'm not the same anymore. You looked for me, You sought me, and You bought me with an overwhelming price of Your precious Son. Now, because of that, I've said yes to You. I'm all Yours. I'm all Yours. I don't give You my sin alone, but I give You myself. I surrender my life to You today. Oh God, today in this moment, apart from circumstances, would You guide me, direct me? I want to be like You. Father, I live to bring glory to Your name, like right now in this circumstance. That's how God gets glory. When we surrender the broken moments to Him as well, the tough times, our identity in Christ. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up in my world, I really admired the uniforms of people. Like when I saw somebody in the military, I mean, I thought I should click my heels and salute. I remember when I was about in junior high, we had a state highway patrolman, Bill Burson, a big hulk of a guy, was in the state highway patrol for years, and many times he'd come to teach Sunday school on his way to or from work, and he was fully uniformed out. I mean, I was in awe of the uniform because there was so much authority and respect that went with that. Agreed? And I think that's still a case. I mean, there's reasons why people wear uniforms. There's reason why our military wears uniforms. I mean, there's something about that. It really is supposed to, in America, it's supposed to give people a sense of positional authority. It's not them, the Barney Fife syndrome. It's what their badge and uniform, who that represents. Agreed? Think about that. Think about that. Their identity. And I think when the uniform is donned, it gives them a greater confidence and security, again, because of who and what they represent. So as we stay connected to our life source and put on that new nature in Christ, we can walk in faith and bold God confidence no matter what our circumstances may be. And they're all over the map today. Our positional authority, let me say it again, comes from not a uniform, but it comes in this. We are clothed in a new nature. We have positional authority in Christ. Our identity is this. Have you heard me say it before? I am a child of God, and that changes everything, including how I vote, including how I treat people at Walmart, including whatever. John 15:5 speaks to it. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who, here's the key to renewal, remain in me and I in them, hidden in Christ, there it is, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. Oh, you can do a lot of things and wear yourself out, but apart from me, you can't do anything that will last and count towards eternity. Apart from me. So God longs to restart us wherever we may be today. This is for all of us. This is for some of you that have no relationship with Jesus. I mean, you understand some of the things we're talking about, but you've never opened up your heart and said yes to the work of Jesus on the cross. You've never confessed, repented, turned from your sins. Some of you have taken that step, but you've never made him Lord of your life. You're not living in that palms up relationship right now of surrender. Or some of you, you've drifted and you're not sure how you got from there to here, but you know that your fire has all but gone out and you need to be renewed today. You can make that choice. The enemy of our hearts and souls goes about as a roaring lion trying to disconnect us from the life source by distracting us with the cares and even the good things of life. But in this circumstance you find yourself today, he wants to give you new life and renewal in two ways. First of all, he wants to renew your spirit. God's concerned about and wants to renew and restart our spiritual determination and consistency. I've been reading some from King David and used the illustrations, recent sermons, but he learned this in one of the worst, absolute worst seasons and circumstances of his life, of his own making and his own choices. He was referred to time and again in Scripture as a man after God's own heart, but he still hit the wall. He never dreamed before he could do what he did, but he did, and he found himself in a mess. And this happened to him when he seemed to have it all together, when he was on the top of the world looking down on creation. He was on top of the known world at the time when he hit the wall. What was David's response when that brokenness became apparent and Nathan the prophet said, this is the story. David said, let's deal with this person. And the prophet said, you're the man. And that wasn't a compliment. It was then that crushing realization came upon David, and instead of falling away in rebellion and excuses for his behavior, he fell broken. And as it says in Psalm 51:10, his prayer, his plea was this: create in me a pure heart, a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Well, I may not need renewal today because I haven't done the things David did, but no, the good news is if God could renew us in a place of brokenness like that, don't you think he could renew you and me where we are today? It doesn't have to go that far. He said, I want to speak renewal to you no matter where you are. David was crying out for that. He wanted to stand firm again. He wanted that intimacy again. He wanted that consistency again. And in that season of great brokenness, some of you can relate to today, God met him there. He met David there, and he restored him. And David did all that he did knowing better, knowing he shouldn't have, but he did. But God reached him where he was. Remember that long arm? Remember, is my arm too short? God says, my arm is not too short to reach you in your brokenness. It's long enough. Maybe you, like David, are broken today because of your sinful choices, or maybe because of someone else's. You're not even sure all the influences that have brought you to where you are. It seems that you feel brokenness and hurt and suffering and maybe even on the verge of hopelessness today. Your life circumstances just seem overwhelming and unfixable. But I'll tell you, this is when we need to do the David, as I often say of Old Testament. We need to do the David, and we need to cry out to God for help. And what he did for David, he wants to do for you. He wants to do for us today. Oh, God, help me. You don't have to scream and yell to get his attention. He sees you. He knows where you are. But he's just waiting for you to ask, saying, help me. That's doing the David. Create in me a clean heart. Renew that spirit within me that once had a fervency and a fire. Do the David. I grew up loving some gospel country songs of Stuart Hamlin. Has anybody ever heard that name? He was a great gospel writer. You can Google it. But I remember him singing his own way, it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he will do for you. With arms wide open, he'll welcome you. It is no secret what God can do. I want to tell you, I'm getting goosebumps over this stuff today because I believe it. I'm looking in the faces. I'm looking at testimonies. You're not where you were because God's long arm reached you and rescued you. And that'll encourage all of us to keep on and not give up, as the scripture said initially. That's why testimonies are so powerful. Not, hey, I've got it all together, but in my brokenness, God reached me, and I'm still standing. I'm standing firm. I've been renewed by his grace, and the overwhelming power shows that I'm not all that great, but he is greater, and so we point to him and praise him in all circumstances. I want to say it again. It's in the circumstances that we most need to give him praise, because that will attract people's attention more than anything, because they'll know, you can't do that. There's got to be someone in you, and oh, yeah, I'm hidden in Christ. Christ is in me, and I'm in him. My identity is that I'm living for him in all things. Listen, God heard David's cry, and it wasn't too many psalms later in 57:7 where he started this prayer, this praise. My heart, O God, is steadfast after a great fall. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. That's code for worship. He was a worshiper. God wants to restore the joy of your worship, the joy of your salvation, the joy of your surrender. Some of us today, when we think of a broken heart, sometimes God wants to break our hearts before he heals it. In other words, David's heart probably wasn't too broken before the prophet came in and Nathan said, you're the man. But when he didn't fall in rebellion, he fell what? In repentance. So maybe if you have a hard heart today, a prayer would be, oh, God, break my heart again. But no matter how broken your heart or life is today, you can also pray, God, you're the ultimate source of healing. You're my resource. I'm coming to you for help and healing today. You alone, you know every detail, things I've forgotten. Lord, you know it all. He wants to restore. God renewed him. The tide turned. He gave him that steadfast heart and that heart of worship again. God will do it for you. No matter your brokenness level today, he wants to give you a steadfast heart that's grounded and firm and stable. He wants to give you a spiritual makeover, but he's waiting for your help. He's waiting for your ask. I was thinking about home renovations, and I've mentioned that in this series a few times. Have any of you had the wonderful faith testing experience of living in a home while it's being renovated? Has anybody ever had that? I remember when I was at Dixie, we were in Springdale, and I was helping Jake and Patty. They were renovating the Parsonage, and they decided they just put some plastic up. How many of you know plastic doesn't keep the dirt and the grime out? I mean, it can go everywhere. It can go everywhere. I've been thinking about that because sometimes that's the makeover that God wants to give us. He wants to do a makeover in us while we're still living in this shell. We're living in the flesh. And I was thinking about that because that renovation, everyone that I know of is dirty and messy, but it's eventually worth it. And you got to hold on to that. Sometimes we watch the Chip and Joanna Gaines show, Fixer Upper. Has anybody know what I'm talking about here? You're awful solid, you know, stoic today. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And Chip, I mean, that guy's crazy. I mean, I don't know him well, but he sure comes across that way. And he gets all hyped up about Demolition Day. Has anybody ever seen that? And we laugh and chuckle and say, man, that guy's a weirdo. But I want to tell you, when we have a broken heart, we'll rejoice over Demolition Day because some things have to be torn down before they can be rebuilt. But he's not going to come barging in and do it without your cooperation, without your surrender, without your invitation. Jesus, come in and do whatever you want to do in me. Because I want to sing and make music again. I want to be a worshiper of you in everything. So I want to tell you, Demolition Day isn't a bad day, it's a good day. It's when we recognize the brokenness and we're willing to do something about it. Oh, it'll get messy. It'll be hard. You may feel like giving up. You may be tempted to quit. You don't know how it can happen. But it's more than saying, oh, God, change my circumstances. Oh, God, just change my spouse. I hope they're listening. Change my boss. Change my kids or my grands. Because it's like, oh, Lord, change me. Give me a new perspective. Oh, God, I'm not working too hard, but could you pay my bills for me? Could you do that? Could you just land me a sweet deal? I mean, I'm just going to hang out by my cell phone. I just cause somebody to call me and text me and offer me a sweet deal. Just bring in another check. I haven't worked for it, but just bring in another check. Please hear me again. This spiritual renewal is not circumstantial. It's not cosmetic. It begins on the inside and works its way out. And that's why we've often sung this song, change my heart, oh God. Not their heart, but start the work in me. Does your spirit need renewed today? Let God review it and then renew it. But finally, he wants to give you a new source of strength. Over the years, Dixie and I have been privileged to go to Lakeside. We had somebody in our congregation for years that had a cottage, made it available. I'd go up there for study breaks and all that. But when we go up, I can't remember, it's on 2 or something, we start going over the bridge and over the water, it just starts feeling like vacation to me. I mean, the cares just like, it's like going to Florida, and when you finally get this, through Cincinnati and into Kentucky, the stress starts rolling off. Can anybody relate to that? When I think of time away, I think of renewal, being refreshed. And I've determined that in our culture that we've been talking about, sometimes we need another vacation after our vacation to recover from the vacation we just had because we come more stressed out than we were when we left. We get home at 12:01 a.m. and we have to be at work at 7 o'clock the next morning. And what vacation? You face things that have piled up and work that's real behind on work, etc. But I'm thinking that there must be a key to finding a way to renew our strength. Our strength. Yes, in the inner man, in this ever busy world. As we travel down that ever-bending road of life, as I like to say, what does it say in Isaiah 40, 31? Here's the key. But those who trust in themselves, oh, thank you. My eyes don't focus sometimes. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. those who do that will do this. They'll soar high on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and they will not faint. But he's the source. He's our resource. Another translation says, those who hope in the Lord. This means to wait, to linger, to look for. You can wait on the Lord, connecting with the source and be renewed and grow stronger, even in a difficult circumstance and an uncertain outcome. God wants to give you spiritual strength that will, listen, God wants today, right now in these moments, he wants to enable you. Somebody online needs to hear this today. He wants to enable you to rise above the winds of resistance. Isn't that what makes an airplane soar? You get wind beneath the wings. God wanted to teach his people a life principle in the early days. And Isaiah wrote these words, if you read more history, when the Israelites were beginning a long period of trials and tribulations, something like 170 years. And even in the hard times, God's saying, God can renew. I can renew your spiritual strength. Spiritual strength and growth often happens in those most unlikely moments. So just follow me here. I love the Old Testament. Still read it a lot. Again, fond memories of my mom reading me stories and probably stories like this. But when the children of Israel came out of Egypt after 400 years of forced labor and became really slavery in essence, he fed them with manna. Have you ever thought about that? But here's the neat thing about it. In so doing it, he did it in such a way that they had to stay connected with God as their source. In other words, it wasn't a one-time buffet, all-you-can-eat bar. No. He did it in such a way that they would stay connected to him, that they would stay dependent upon him, their very life source. He gave them one day's supply at a time. And what did he do on the seventh day? He said, double up, because you're not together tomorrow. Some didn't put it. He said, if you try to make it last, if you try to preserve it yourself, it's going to rot. It's going to have worms, maggots, if you will. But he was teaching them to live one moment, one day, one circumstance at a time with dependence upon God. He was teaching them to depend and to rest in him. The importance of renewal. I think, too, and I need to hurry, and Exodus 20 speaks to it, and a lot of people think this is old-fashioned and doesn't have any relevance now. I disagree, but in 20 of Exodus, it says, remember and observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for ordinary work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. I'm telling you, there's a principle in that that we need to remember in our wild pace. God's teaching us. He's teaching them, but he's teaching us the importance of renewal by waiting on him, spending time with him, dedicating time to him by resting. We think we know better, but God's ways are higher. I've read so many articles on Chick-fil-A story. I'm fascinated by their organization and all that they do. And reading a paraphrase of their founder, Tua Cathy, said something in retrospect. He said, making a decision to close the restaurants on Sunday and is for the purpose of rest and family and worship, he said, it was the best business decision I ever made. He kind of felt like he was in agreement with God about that, I guess. But the facts are in and continue to pile up that they generate far more revenue in 6 days than nearly all their competitors do in seven. Hey, do you think God knows what he's talking about? I do. When we operate under God's love-driven guidelines and do life his way, we'll always be the better for it in the long run. Always. The pace of life is so heavy, and I've told you before, and it's even more, there's a greater disparity now, but the casualty list is high of pastors who begin well but don't finish well. Years ago, I heard that 10 out of, factually, time in research, that only 10 out of 100 make it from the start to finish to retirement. That number is lower now. But doing God's work and all of that can take you away from the very relationship with God. And so the starting point is saying, oh God, I need you to renew my spirit and to renew my spiritual strength so that I can stand with consistency, with determination. And it's not for me alone, though it is for me to help my family, but it's for those who follow after me as well. God, help me to be faithful. We're exhausted, many times running on fumes due to the constant running and trying to be there for everyone and fix everything and everyone. And I just want to give you a word of caution here. Sometimes I see many that cut back on some of the most important things, and that's gathering faithfully with God and others for worship. That's not the place to make cuts. One of my heart for you, I love teenagers, still do, and did it for years and loved it 16 years. And one of the tragedies was that when I saw families, they were having trouble with my kids, and the kids wanted to be a part of the youth group so much, they loved it, bringing their friends, that when they got in trouble, their parents would ground them from church and from the youth group. Not a good decision. Oh yeah, I got to quit doing this. I got to quit serving. I can't afford to give time to worship. Oh, you can't afford not to. Well, I may be meddling there, but that's what pastors do. I guess I'm asking this again. What does the Lord need to do in you today to restore you? How can we help others if we're depleted and empty ourselves? I've got it. We've got it. We must stay filled to overflowing. And the only way we can do that is saying, renew my strength, Lord. Renew my spirit within me. He's the source. He's the source. We're constantly renewed in that relationship and become more and more like him on our journey from here to heaven. In our brokenness today, here's the word of the Lord. Matthew 6:28. Jesus said, come to me. When I read that, I don't think come as in do that back there. Keep coming to me. All of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Not a one-time deal. He said, keep on coming. Keep bringing it to me wherever you find yourself. God's calling your name. He's tapping you on the shoulder. He's drawing your heart today. He's saying, come to me for rest and renewal. I can fix your brokenness, but you need to say yes. I want to give you a restart. I want to make your life new today. It's time to say the ultimate yes and surrender. Palms up. Palms up. His loving presence in our lives is the difference maker. Amen.